on Sunday evening here because of our small groups that we have. But thank you that you are able to join us. We do have with us this evening a former member and attendee of Robinson Baptist Church. Brother Jim Tellman is here this evening. His wife Michelle is not here, but he brought his daughter with him though. Kathy is our brother's sister, and he will say much more about his family. I think since 2012, you've been in Uganda, is that correct? And I was ordained 2016 by Hendersonville Baptist Bible Church, Bible Church of Hendersonville, Tennessee. And they have seven children. Amanda is the one who is married. Both Emily and Amanda are married. So he will give you much more. He is the pastor of Mbara in Bira Baptist Church in Uganda. Also, they have a Bible school and a Christian school that he's involved with. So he is going to share his ministry with us this evening and what he plans to do in 2025. And I hope it will be a blessing to all of you. He has a display in the lobby, and I invite you to, after the meeting, to stop by and chat with him and see in his, what is in the displays. If you have questions, that would be a good time for you to ask those questions. Brother Jim, why don't you come and be a blessing to all of us? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone again. It's been a long time. And I'm excited and happy to be here. Thank you for changing your schedules around and coming here to share in this with me. And so, as the pastor said, my name is Jim Tellman. We were members here, I think that would have been back in around 1998, maybe, something like that. Yes. And the funny thing is we were only members here for 1 year. And then God moved us to Florida and then to Tennessee. But yet, every time we would come back to visit, we were able to come back and visit here again and maintain those friendships over the years. Now it's been many, many years. And so it's always a pleasure to be back here again, back home. Although home now is in Uganda, unfortunately, this trip came up a little bit unexpectedly, and so my wife and our three youngest children are still in Uganda. They're keeping the work moving while I'm away, and so next year will be a furlough for our family, and so we're praying that we'll be able to come as the family to see everyone again. In the process of trying to schedule some new churches for next year's furlough, one church asked if I could come this year. And I said, well, let me get back with you on that. And then I had several other churches that agreed as well. And so the Lord opened the door for me to be here for 8 weeks in the U.S. And so I'm thankful for that. I get to be in several churches, but I also get to see my grandchildren. And so that's always a blessing. And I have my sister with me tonight. She's been with us over the weekend, and so it's a joy to get to spend some time with family as well while we're here. I grew up over on Fillmore Street, so this is coming back home for me. And so God has really been working in Uganda. We've been blessed with many more children in the school. When we moved there 12 years ago, the school had around 100 students, and the church was, you know, running about 100 people. And right now, the church is up over 300 on Sundays, and the school has 500 students in it. And so God is really working and moving there, and it is a great opportunity for sharing the gospel. It brings the mission field right to our property, and we can invest in those youth and children with the gospel and with growing in the Lord. And it's great to see then as they grow, then they will start attending the Bible college, and we are able to then go out and plant new churches and be able to continue the work. Obviously, the goal is when we're done there, as we leave, that it's all nationals running the ministry and continuing the work and going out and reaching their entire country with the gospel. And so that's the plan, and this is our working towards reaching that goal. And so we appreciate your prayers and your thoughts for us while we're over there and for the ministry, and we ask that you would continue to pray as God works there. I don't want to ever miss an opportunity to turn to God's Word and just share a brief message as we come together. I know, you know, maybe the small groups are a little bit different, but I know there's always Bible study in there. And so turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 9 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Verse 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time where we can come together, we can come into your house, we can spend time in your word, we can learn and grow, and Lord, we can give thanks for the many blessings that you've given to us. We can give thanks for the way that you have been working in Mbita, Uganda, and Lord, also for the way you've been working here in Robinson Township. Lord, we thank you again for all that you do for us. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word tonight and allow us to draw closer to you as we study and as we spend time fellowshipping together. I thank you again for this opportunity, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just briefly on this passage, the question is, and it's one of if we even realize it or understand that we are all ministers. I know that many times you get in a church setting you know, much of the work is done by the pastor or by the associate pastor or by the deacons or whatever the leadership may be. But as believers in Christ, we are all called to be ministers. That word minister is very simply defined as being a servant. And we are all the servants of Christ. We are the ambassadors for Christ. We all have a message to deliver that Christ has given to us. And so in verse 9, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling." And so if we're saved, then we've been called. And it's a holy calling. And it's one that we must make our main purpose in life. Our life should focus around that calling from God's word rather than on everything else that life has to offer. And it's not always an easy thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. The devil's pretty good at what he does, and he tries to distract us and to pull us off of our course by showing us all the things of this world that would be great, but yet we should be focused on our holy calling as a born-again believer in Christ, we should be practicing this holy calling. We should be sharing the gospel. There are people that each one of you know that you may be the only one that could reach them with the gospel. And it's important, that's a holy calling in our life, that we should reach them. When I was called into the ministry, I was not prepared for it. I was a businessman, a worker, a layman in the church, and I went on a two-week missions trip, took two of my kids, thinking that God was going to call them to the mission field, and instead he called me. And I was scared to death. And I waited several months before I told anybody except my wife. Her and I both felt it and knew that we were being called. But man, once you tell somebody that, then it's out there, and now you have to do something about it. And so we had that almost that spirit of fear with it, like we can't do this. This can't. We're not capable of this. I'm not prepared for this. And yet, God continued to work on us and made it very clear that he was calling us. And so we stepped out by faith to do it. But then I still had more fear, because then I had to stand up in front of people and speak. And that, I'll never forget it. It's the first time I preached a sermon and spoke in a church. It was a group not much different than this one right now. And it was, you know how churches in the South, you know, they have the AC set at about 60. And so it was freezing cold in there. And I was standing up there, just sweat pouring off of me, because I was nervous and didn't know what to say. And that fear was overcoming me. But I'm thankful God gave me a verse that gave me the ability to get through that. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And so I didn't have to be good with words. I didn't have to know what to say or how to say it. I just had to be willing. And God is the one who does the work. And so I want to challenge you. There's something that we can all do that will prepare us for that calling in our life. Each of our calling may be a little bit different. It might look different than everybody else's, but God has a calling for us. And I've found that if we are faithful, then God will take us to that next step. He'll bring us into that calling and use us. But we need to be faithful with the little things. We need to be faithful in the attendance, in the working within the ministry that we're a part of now, and just allow God to move us along. In my life, that's where it began. I had, through high school and college, I had gotten away from God and away from church, and was just living for myself, and God brought me back, and he allowed me to come back and start serving in a church. And it started small and with little things, but it was the more faithful that I was, the more responsibilities that God gave to me along the way. And over several years, he brought me to the point where in 2010, when we went on the missions trip, then I was at a point where I had been faithful long enough and part of it long enough that even though I feared, God could call me and I would answer the call. If he would have called me 10 years earlier, I would have said no way. But God has a perfect plan for all of us, and he calls all of us with that holy calling. And so I want to encourage you just to remain faithful in the little things. Even if it's just helping out with cleaning up, or helping out in the sound, or helping out in the... are you still doing Awanas? Olympians. Any way of helping out. Just a dear friend of mine passed away this past week. And I wasn't able to make it back in time to be there, but I started thinking back. And when I was probably 9 or 10 years old, it would have been soon after receiving Christ as my Savior. He was a children's leader for us on our Wednesday night program. And this guy was very tough and kind of had this voice like, you know, he sounded really rough and tough. But, and he invested time in me, and he helped me to grow and to move forward in my Christian life. And I look back on that now, and I think, what an impact he had on my life. And so I'd never had the opportunity to tell him that, but it's there, and it's, we have that opportunity. We can affect young people's lives. We can affect our neighbor's life. We can affect those lives that are around us if we're just willing and faithful. God's called us to that holy calling, and he will use us. He'll bring people into your life that you can bring to Christ. And so I wanted to encourage you with that this evening. As I said, God has been blessing in Uganda. We've been back now for a little over 3 years since our last furlough, and we're preparing for furlough next year then. And so we're praying that God will provide, whether it's a Ugandan couple or an American couple that would come and help us there. We're looking for someone in the area of a youth pastor, because I'm getting older. I'm having a more of a difficult time relating to young people, as many of you may understand. But you know, when you have someone who is a youth pastor in focus, they're able to work with them. And when we have 500 students on our property every day, that is a great opportunity for a youth pastor to build a youth group and be able to impact lives. And so I want to ask if you would to pray with me for that, for God to provide that person, that couple, to be able to help us as we move forward. Even during this time, I am blessed to have several men in the Bible college that can step in and be able to preach on Sundays. And they're already in a rotation preaching on Wednesday nights. And so that is a blessing. And it's also good for them to be able to grow and to continue serving the Lord and gain in their confidence and be able to go out and plant new churches as well. And so with that, I'd like to go ahead and show our video to just share. It shares a little more of the details and some pictures of what's going on there. And then maybe we can have a time of questions and answers if it would like. So we are Jim and Michelle Tellman. We've been serving in Mbita, Uganda for 12 and a half years. Mbita Baptist Church has grown both spiritually and numerically. Thank you for partnering with us financially. You make it possible for this work to continue. Out of our church, we have several ministries here in Mbita. We have Bible College, in which we're training future leaders.
nga ndi wano kubera nga mbeera Katonda ekitiibwa wamu n'obujulizi olw'ebirungi byakoze eri obulamu bwaffe. Mukama tumwebaza olwa byonna byakoze eri obulamu bwaffe. Twebaza Katonda olw'ekibiina kyaffe ekya Bible College, era twebaza Katonda okuba nti yasobozesa musumba waffe Pastor Jim Terman okuba nga atubuulira ekigambo kya Katonda ng'ayita mu kibiina ky'asomesa ekya Bible College. Tuyize bingi nga tuyita mu kigambo kya Katonda nga ffe abali mu kibiina kino ekya Bible College. Twebaza Katonda nti akadde kano tusobola okuba nga tubuulira enjiri eri abantu abalala, eri ebitundu ebitwetoolodde.
One of our biggest ministries is Grace Christian School. God has blessed us with almost 500 students from preschool through elementary and into high school.
My name is George William Bukenya, the head teacher of Grace Christian School in Mbira. I'm privileged to have this time to share with you about our ministry. We thank God for the opportunity that we are serving and working in the Christian community of the Grace Project, and thank Him for everything that He has done for us. Here we are serving, whereby there is a church family having a number of ministries, having the nursery and the primary plus the secondary school. God has blessed us with a number of children, around 500 students. And we thank Him for all the provision that He gives to us. I thank Him for the opportunity that you, all those children can hear the gospel being preached. And then I've come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We thank Him for everything that He has done for us, and this can be my prayer request, that you can consider putting Grace Project on your prayer list. We believe in prayer. Many vulnerable children are in this place, and the school is doing that service, and we are thankful to the Lord that He has provided for everything. Our motto is, whether therefore ye eat or drink, and whatsoever ye do, do it for the glory of God. May God bless you.
I tell you that he who trusts in you see the glory of God. You will 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 see the glory of God.
God has given us a ladies' ministry. We have two Bible studies each week, one in English and one in Luganda. We also go out each month to visit and encourage some of the shut-ins from our church.
One of the ministries that God has called us to is planting new churches. We're training young men in the Bible College to be able to go out and start new churches. Kalakide George is one of our former students who has gone out and done just that. He has planted Kalisizo Baptist Church.
Kalisizo Baptist Church. Nero kwa mwaka bili umu kaga katichari mtaoni ya Kalisizo. Era netutambula ne Kalisizo Baptist Church. Nyinga yansanga nali mwikali wa mwenge nga nyo mwenge nyo. Era nga mkumana mwono ukujiti liyo. Nyinga soka. Nafuna Kristu Yesu. Ulambu wange watu usiwa. Era nintambuli na ini nene mirembe kati. Ate era Kalisizo Baptist Church.
Demo, One last ministry I'd like to share with you is our orphaned and vulnerable children's ministry. We have 100 students who receive a full scholarship, as well as many who receive a partial scholarship. We are able to do this through monthly financial support. We need your help as we are praying to add Senior 5 and Senior 6 onto our high school. My family and I would like to invite you to come and visit the mission field in Africa. The Bible says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Won't you come and see the work that God is doing here in Mbita, Uganda?
Amen. I love seeing that little 80-year-old widow. She won a thing of material to be able to have a new dress made, and man, it just made her day. So there was a lot, much joy there that day, and so it is a privilege to do the work in Uganda and to be a part of what God is doing there, and so if does anyone have any questions at all? You can ask about anything you would like. Yes.
Hello. There. Did you start from zero when you arrived in Uganda? For instance, was there a church? Was there a school? Was there, or there was nothing, and that's all happened in the years that you've been there?
Okay. Very good question. So, there was a missionary there, his name was Tony Applegate and his family, and they had started the ministry in Masaka town, and they had a national pastor, Pastor JJ, was working together with them, and they had, Pastor JJ had planted the church, and there were 6 members in the church, and then They had started the school in town, and they had 30 students, and that's when we came to visit in 2010. That's where the ministry was at that point, and all that was on that property was the little wooden church building. It was about half of the size of what was shown in the picture there, and so I came to be a supporting role missionary. I'd never gone to Bible college, and as I said, you know, I was learning how to preach, and so my background is in accounting and in construction and small business, and so I went to help with that, to try to come up with some self-sustainment projects, to help with the accounting and bookkeeping for the school, and then also there was much construction that was going to be happening at the school, and so to be a part of all of that. And then that was in 2012, we moved there. At that point, they had moved the school out to Mbita, and there were just only a couple of buildings up at that point, and there were about 100 students at that point. And so then we came in to help, and then in 2016, I had been working together with Pastor JJ. He had never been ordained. He was just doing the work, and so I was encouraging him to get ordained, and so we studied together and worked together to prepare for the intense questioning from the council, and so... I was ordained as well, but God had a perfect plan in all of this, because then in 2017, JJ died in a car accident, and so the church was went through a very rough time grieving and whatnot. And then through that time, Tony and myself were pastoring the church together. But then within about a year, God had called him and his family to move to the capital city and to plant a church there. And so that's when in 2018, then I became the pastor of the church and to continue on with the ministry.
So you didn't go to language?
No. When we first arrived, we hired a tutor for our first 3 years. We met with them once a week for 3 hours to begin working on the language. I can understand most of everything that's said, but I still struggle to speak. I can speak enough that I won't go hungry, and I can, you know, make it through life there. But I've not reached a point where I'm able to preach in Luganda yet. It's a very difficult language, and so that's why we have the two standing up in the front of the church. I have a translator up there for most events. So, anyone else? Yes.
What does it cost per child? How does tuition go? Do a lot of people from the state sponsor the children? Just some of those questions.
Okay. Well, there's two different ways of looking at sponsorship. Many ministries follow along the way that I can't think of the name of the. There's a big organization that sponsors kids like that so much. Yeah, Compassion. But we're trying to be careful, because what we found in the past is that if a child is sponsored and another one is not, they can be very cruel and mean, and they can get very entitled and everything else. And so we're trying not to spoil them. We want to help them to move forward in life. So honestly, there's nobody that is completely free, because I just don't believe that really helps anybody. Now, that being said, the 100 that are sponsored, their school fees are free, but as a school, we usually have requirements, and it's, you know, some pencils and book, you know, notebooks and stuff like that. So I think for the primary, the younger kids, it's 7,000 shillings for the term, which is 12 weeks, which is equivalent of about $2. And so the ones that are sponsored, they need to bring the pencils and the books and stuff. The ones that are not sponsored, the school fees in primary are around it's around $15 a month is what the cost is for their education. And then in the high school, yeah, it goes up. It's about $25 a month is what the cost is of running the school. And so we generally try to get sponsorship for the school, and then that way we're not messing with the lives of the kids. So. Okay, thank you.
Are you part of a mission board? And who is ahead of you? To whom do you respond to?
Okay.
And how does that work?
Okay. Yes, I'm sent out by Bible Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And so I am accountable to my pastor. But then also I'm a part of Global Faith Mission Agency, which is based in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the director there is my boss. And so I'm accountable with him. We stay in communication as far as, you know, what's going on. He's not overseeing the day-to-day operation, but just the general flow. But then also, the way the ministry is set up is that all of it is under the church. And so the other missionary and the national pastor established a constitution for the church, which states that the pastor is the director of all ministries under the church, but that there's also an executive committee. And so there's four men that are from the church, Ugandan men, that are on the committee with me, and it would kind of be like a steering committee or something like that as far as decisions that are made and things that are done. And so that's kind of the hierarchy of the accountability. Well, personally, we are. So when we went in supporting role, there was not a great need for ministry funds, as the other missionary had most of the work sponsored already. And so we raised our personal support and went. And then now over the years, there was a situation over the last couple of years where a very large church had been sponsoring the orphan care, and they sent a family to come in, and there was some doctrinal differences in them, between them and the constitution of the church, and they were trying to change it, and so we had to take a stand, and in doing that, then the church stopped funding the orphan care, and so that's what I'm in the process of doing, trying to raise additional funds monthly for the orphan care. Over the last couple of years, we've just been using our personal funds to cover where we can and to get by with that for the time being. Okay. Go ahead.
Teaching, you said you have a Bible college as well. Mm. And who are your professors?
Well, that's a good question. So with the Bible college, the Wednesday Bible college is, there's about 20 members that are church members. Most of them never completed school or didn't go very far in school, and they're the members of the church. And so I'm teaching them on Wednesdays from 11 to 1. We began with Baptist distinctives and then have gone through the Bible doctrines. And so a normal 12-week course, we take about a year to go through that because we're moving slowly. That one is translated for them to help them understand, but it's helping them to grow in their education as well. And so that was the first step of Bible college. That one has been going since 2013. And then a few years ago, God led me to start Leadership Bible College on Thursday evenings from 5 to 8. And that is all in English. And that is for those that are wanting to become pastors or to become leaders in the church. And so we have 14 students in there right now. George in there that was planting the church, he's in the process of going through that course as well, and so I'm teaching that as well. One of the blessings was when we moved there in 2012, there's another Baptist missionary in the town of Masaka. He had been teammates with the Applegates, and he has a Bible college there, but he also does what he calls triannual Bible institutes. So the school year runs from February to December, or the end of November, 1st of December, and there's three terms. And there are holidays, three-week holidays in between the first and second term and the second and third term, and then the summer is December and January. And so three times a year in those school holidays, he puts on a one-week intensive course, one of these Bible college courses. And so it's Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, and it's pretty intense. But I started bringing my students there to start with. we still go there, but then I was able to sit in on the courses and learn. So I've actually completed 64 credit hours through his teaching there. And so it'll never count for anything academically, but it helped me a lot, and it helped me to grow and to be able to then teach that to my students. So, okay, thank you. I think there was a question over here. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, first I was going to ask where exactly in Uganda you are, but you just said Masaka, and I have my little Google map.
Ah.
So you're by Lake Victoria, fairly close?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have like a lot of tourism and stuff through there because of the scenery and the animals and like what's the political climate and as far as people coming in and out and just what does that look like?
Okay. So tourism in Uganda is very big. Not where we are because, yes, we're close to Lake Victoria, but it's a lot of swamp area. There's no good beach or anything like that right there. And in swamps, you have mosquitoes, and so you have malaria, and it's not great for that. We're pretty deep in the village where we are. But as a whole, there are, you saw the elephants and the lions. Yes. So we're right on the equator, or just under the equator. And so we have two dry seasons and two rainy seasons. And so there's two growing seasons, which is great for food, for mangoes and, you know, pineapple, all the fresh fruits and vegetables. But it's also very moderate in temperature, and it's really very nice. I do love the climate there. We don't get any snow. So there are a lot of tourists that come in, like from Europe especially. It was a British colony originally, and so there's that kind of influence there. We have had, over the years, usually an average of 2 to 3 teams that will come to visit. Some will come to do VBS. There's been teams that will come and put on a medical clinic for a week, and usually they'll come in and work really hard for a few days, and then we take a day to go and see do the safari or a 2-day safari or whatever it may be, and so it is a lot of travel. It's basically you have to count 2 days to get there and 2 days to get back, and so it is a long journey, but it is a beautiful place and it's worth it. Winston Churchill called it the Pearl of Africa. That was his description of it. And so another option is we have openings for interns to come. One of the photos at the equator was a young man from one of our churches he's in Bible college online. He's going to become a pastor. But while he's in college, he's doing 3-month internships along the way. So like last fall, he was in New York City with a church there for 3 months. And then in March, he came and stayed with our family for 3 months and just got heavily involved in the ministry and the work and learning. And it was a great help to us, but I believe also it was a great help for him as well. And that was the safari that we were on when that elephant was, there was a truck coming from the other direction and it started heading right towards us. I had to back up rather quickly to not get trampled by that very large creature. So.
But the government is very open to having people come in and out.
Yes. Yes. So the government is an elected president, but there were 2-term limits for him when he became the president. They're 5-year terms, and he's now serving his 6th term. So, you know, there's always a little bit of, I don't want to say corruption, but, you know, handling of things. There was also an age limit around his 4th or 5th time, and that went away, and so But he's been very good for the country. He has really developed a big part of the country and developed the economy, and it's moving out of the third world stage, at least in the capital and the other cities. It is, when you get out to the village, it's still very similar to how it had been. But I can be there as a missionary. I'm just not allowed to earn any money while I'm there. My daughter and her husband are living in Brazil right now. They're on deputation and setting up to be able to go to Nigeria as missionaries, but they cannot go as missionaries. They're having to go to start a business and to be business people there, but then reaching people with the gospel. And so pray for them and pray for their parents' hearts, as Nigeria is the number one place for Christian martyrs in the world today. And so that's that takes a lot of prayer to be able to continue to be supportive of that. But God is in control. And so, anyone else? Yes. Oh, that's a very good question. So there's two growing seasons, which is great. It provides a lot of food. That's the only way I think that those people can survive when they're only making like $2 a day or whatever, is by growing their own food. So they grow a lot of maize, which is like corn, but it's white in color. They grow a lot of beans, you know, like what you would use for baked beans or that kind of a thing. They grow a lot of bananas. They're called ndizi. They're little tiny bananas that are very sweet. Oh, they're so good. And then bagoya is very similar to the bananas that we get here, only they taste a lot better there because they're really fresh. And then they grow something called matoke, and that is a cooking banana. They harvest it when it's still very green, and they peel it with a knife, and then they're very creative people. They use a saucepan over fire, and they put it in there, and they're boiling it, but they use the banana leaves to almost create a pressure cooker. And so it cooks a lot faster that way, and it's very good. It has kind of the consistency of mashed potatoes, but it's very sweet and tastes good. And then they also grow ground nuts there, which would be like peanuts. But then they use that and they make a sauce to go over it, and it's very good food like that. But there's also mangoes and pineapples. If you like pineapple, this is the best pineapple in the world, I believe. It's not acidic at all. It's very sweet, and we eat a lot of pineapple over there. But they grow a lot of different fruits like that as well. Avocados. The avocados there are huge. The pit in the avocado is about the size of the avocados here. So, let me think. What else is there? We grow a lot of coffee. So we have a separate piece of property that's about 7 acres, and we grow coffee and bananas and maize and beans on that. We use the maize and beans for the school, and we use the coffee to help pay the salary of the garden manager. That last family on the motorcycle is our garden manager and his family, and so very sweet family, and they're serving the Lord in the church as well. But with that, then we found that there's a group of students that didn't qualify for the orphan care, but they wanted to come to our school, and they were close enough to be able to come in as day school, but they just couldn't afford it. And so, again, not wanting to just give everything for free, we worked out a program where if they're old enough, if they're in the high school, they can go and work in the garden on Saturdays, and that helps to cover the cost of their school fees. And if they're young, then their parents will go and work in the garden at some point during the week. The garden manager does a great job of, he says, hey, this is your area. It needs to be clean, or it needs to be planted, or whatever needs to be done. And so it helps us with the garden, with growing, but then it also helps them with being able to be in school, and it's not just for free, they're working for it. So, yes?
What kind of meats do they eat there?
That's another good question. So, honestly, probably 95% of the people that we deal with our school, the students, the parents, the church members, they'll eat meat maybe once a year on Christmas. Christmas is a big day, and so there's two things on Christmas. The mom gets a new dress, and the family gets to eat meat. And so there's a lot of pressure on the dad when it comes to Christmas. So there's not a lot, but they eat a lot of beef. Cows, you saw the cow in the video, they drink a lot of milk. So George is very good with cows, and that was his cow that was on there, and they were harvesting some milk that morning. But they do eat a lot of chicken when it comes time for food, but there's no refrigeration, so the chickens are alive right until it's almost time to eat. And in our area, there is a place down the road it's called a pork joint, and it was just an area of trees that they cleared out and made a fire pit, and there's several pigs that are waiting their turn, and then when they slaughter a pig, they roast it all that day, and they have a big celebration, and so there are some that eat meat more often, but the majority, it's only once a year. So, well, up until about 2 years ago, it was probably more often than, but you know, it just depends. We do some of our shopping in the capital city, where they have butchers that know how to do things, and you can, because most of the meat that you would buy is just hanging out in the open and with the flies and everything else, and so it really our stomachs can't handle that kind of thing in the same way that they are accustomed to it. So we do have to be careful. I would say in a week we would normally maybe have two meals with meat. We'll have two or three meals with lentils, and then the rest is, we eat a lot of eggs. Eggs are very reasonably priced. You can get a tray of 30 eggs for about $2. So that's been a staple for our family while we've been there. So, yeah. Any other questions?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Tillman. He would be in the lobby, and if you wish to talk to him further, please pay a visit to his table, maybe take a prayer card to pray for his ministry, and if you are able to keep in touch, do so. We do have Pastor Congrove with us, and he was the pastor here when Brother Tillman was here, right? And we are going to ask him to close us in prayer.
Let's stand together, can we? Father, you are so good to us. You take us, Father, from the rough, and you build within us that which we need to be faithful. Thank you, Father, for the years that the Tillmans have given to this ministry. Thank you for their training, their faithfulness. I've watched many of their kids grow up, and it's a real testimony, Father, when the children want to serve in ways that they've seen their parents do well. Father, continue to go before them. There are always countless challenges to missionaries' lives when they, some of them might be spiritual or doctrinal or financial, as there are with all of our lives. And so you have promised, Father, to show up, and for that we are grateful and we love you. Thank you for the opportunity we had to catch a glimpse of their lives, and I pray that you would meet their needs, increase their faith, and show them great things as the work continues. Well, thank you now, and ask that you would bless us as we depart in the wonderful and the strong name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.